Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast, Pittsburgh Steelers Training Camp 2017. It is Monday, August the 14th, and back from La Trobe once again. He was with me this morning. He's back with me this afternoon. Alex Cazorra, long time no talk to.
You just can't get rid of me that easily, Dave. I know you're trying. I keep coming back home.
You know better than that. The practice out there Monday, the team will have off on Tuesday, and then they'll wind things out with three consecutive practices starting on Wednesday. Things coming to the end, and right before we get on, we got on. You said, look, you know, we're not going to learn that much more about guys, you know, at this point during training camp. We'll learn a little bit more probably during the games, more so than we will during training camp. And with that said, let's get after it. They were in shells today, you know, not in full pads. I know it made it kind of tough to find out who's working and who's not, but you could probably give us a few names that you know for sure didn't work, right?
Yeah, it's just early on when the players come down, you know, I try to jump on those, but when everyone's kind of in shorts, it's hard to know exactly what guys' level of participation is. But I'll run through things fairly quickly. Not practicing at any degree today was Landry Jones, Mike Mitchell, Senquez Golson, Ryan Shazier, Bud Dupree, Keon Adams, Pouncey, and Steven Johnson were in jerseys, but they didn't really do any work at all. I don't know what's up with Steven Johnson. That's a new one. TJ Watt, I think he was in team session for the seven shots, and then he didn't do any defense stuff the rest of the way. He did some stuff on special teams. He's fine. Cam Sutton, still not in team. Connor got in team today, but again, they weren't hitting, so there's not a whole lot to mention there. Juju was back in full, which is good. Same with Chicolo, Huguenin, Keith Kelsey, Gilbert, and Johnny Maxey. A couple of those guys got hurt either in Friday's game or yesterday, so to have those guys back certainly was nice.
Yeah, and, you know, right before we got on, Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette had an interesting report about Ryan Shazier. It looked like he, you know, trying to work his way back from that hamstring injury, but still struggling with it. And I think it's obvious at this point that Shazier is not going to play in the second preseason game against the Atlanta Falcons. At that point, you keep your fingers crossed. I mean, obviously, you'd like to have him back for that third preseason game, but not unless he's fully healthy. So, you know, I think there's an outside shot right now at this point that we don't see Shazier at all during the preseason.
That's possible. And I'll give you the other name that I'm personally frustrated with, even maybe more than Shazier. And I get the Shazier thing is frustrating because it always happens. But Bud Dupree, it's such an off again, on again thing. Well, he'll practice once, then he'll, you know, sit out the next day, then he'll practice, go through half, sit out, you know, not play in the game, sat out today. It's just, let's just get this guy on the field or hold him out till he's ready to go. I don't know exactly what the issue is, but it's frustrating as heck to me.
And then Mike Mitchell, he hasn't practiced since the first padded practice, right?
Yeah, the day three. Now, I mean, yeah, that's frustrating, but at least he's not the on-again, off-again like Dupree, where it's like, figure it out. You know, you went through this last year with Dupree, and you rushed him back, and it caused him to miss half the year. So I just want to know what's going on with some of these guys.
Yeah, on a positive note, Sammy Coates, as you've been speculating for the last few days, appears to be close to getting off of PUP, and Mike Tomlin said as much after practice on Monday. You know, he didn't say he's going to come off PUP on Wednesday, but Coates seems to think that's when it's going to happen. And, you know, Tomlin said if that's what he thinks, then we'll see. So maybe something to look forward to on Wednesday with Coates coming off of PUP and kind of ahead of that. I don't know how much you can read into this. Yeah, I mean, you can read several things into the transaction that happened today. The Steelers waived wide receiver Kanan Severn, former undrafted free agent out of Virginia, who spent his rookie season on IR with a shoulder injury. He, of course, was released or waived earlier this offseason and then quickly signed back. Well, with those lines thin at outside linebacker, we've been talking about it for over a week. week now thinking, are they going to sign an outside linebacker to this roster? Well, they finally did today. They signed former Miami of Ohio defensive end. And, you know, he's an undersized guy, plays outside linebacker now. Austin Gehring, and this is a guy that was at the rookie mini camp this year. I don't think he ever signed with anybody. I think he's been on the street this whole time. So there's your body there. Did you get a chance? I mean, not that it matters. Did you get a chance to look at any of his film way back ahead of rookie mini camp?
I didn't. I knew his background. He came to Miami, Ohio as a quarterback, I think, switched after his first year. He actually played a little bit, I think, his freshman or sophomore year with Miami. But then he moved out to a linebacker and had moderate success. But I haven't seen any tape. I'm guessing you have seen him a little bit.
No, I've just got the highlights. I've made it. You know, I had to write and all earlier today. Mm-hmm. So I think I made it through a minute and a half of some of his highlights. Not enough to draw any conclusions. But, you know, hey, we might see him against the Falcons some, depending on how these outside linebacker go ahead of that game here. You know, aggravating that Keon Adams isn't on the field. You and I talked about that this morning, I think, a little bit. Chickalo, it sounds like he's back doing something, so maybe he'll be able to play. You know, who knows what's up with Farrington Hugonen at this point. Dinged up again, I think you said yesterday or day.
He was in team today, though, so that's good.
Okay, that's good news there. Before we get started, you know, going going over to practice today, Joey Porter had some interesting comments earlier in the day, in so many words, stating that, you know, T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree were going to be the starting outside linebackers this year, and that you know, they weren't going to come off unless they retired. And for lack of a better word, James Harrison was going to be the relief pitcher. Boy, Joey Porter must watch a lot of baseball, because you know, a couple years ago he talked about Harrison being on a pitch count, and now he's talking about Harrison. I guess Harrison's the closer now, right?
Well, hopefully he's more Felipe Rivero than he was like Tony Watson or something.
What, you know, look, I'm not, you know, I'll partially pat myself on the back right now because it hasn't happened just yet. But, you know, earlier in the offseason, you know, it was my opinion that Watt would wind up playing, you know, the lion's share of the snaps this year. And although I, you know, I really wasn't expecting him maybe to get the start right out of the shoot, I was expecting him to see the field. You know, are you reading into anything of what Porter said? Do you put any stock into it based on Porter's, you know, previous history talking about, you know, the positions?
Yeah, I mean, you know the report better than I do. I read over it briefly, the article that you did. I heard a little bit on the car ride home. Porter had said things in the past that haven't come true. Remember the whole 25 snaps per game for James Harrison? Well, that never came close to happening, but different situation. I heard that Harrison wasn't happy with this. Is that a solid report? The radio said it, so I don't know how true it is.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is what I think it was Ed Bouchette wrote this morning, and right. I've yet to listen to the interview that was they had Porter on Steelers Nation Radio this morning. I don't know if Bouchette's report stems from that interview or if Bouchette sat down with him, you know, himself. So I'll have to put that together. I wouldn't be surprised if Harrison's not happy about it, but on the flip side, he evidently hasn't been spotted at practice the last couple of days. You know, Tomlin says, look, we have a special plan for those people in their late 30s, and kind of laughed it off. You know, Harrison being a competitor that he is, I mean, he's obviously going to want to push for snaps. And sure. even though I think that Watt ends up playing right out of the chute, and you know, sticking with my earlier prediction earlier this offseason, I would still think Harrison's going to see, you know, good chunk of snaps at least early on in the season. I mean, look, you're opening up against the Cleveland Browns. That sounds easy on paper, but not on that right side. You know, T.J. Watt versus Joe Thomas. I mean, not that James Harrison has had all that much of a success during his career against Joe Thomas. He knows him like nobody else, you know, on the Steelers. Do you really want to throw T.J. Watt out there for 80% of snaps against a guy like Joe Thomas?
Yeah, that'd obviously be a very tough task. So, you know, I don't know. We'll have to hear Tomlin's and Keith Butler's comments about this. You know, I kind of take what Porter says with a grain of salt. And, you know, obviously performance is going to be a factor the rest of the way. If Watch struggles to do the rest of the preseason, hypothetically, then it's going to change the dynamics. So I'm not going to get too caught up in stuff that may or may not be true and is always subject to change.
Yeah, and Tomlin, after practice, was asked about, you know, what Porter said, and Tomlin said, I'll let him address all those bold statements regarding rotations. You guys aren't sucking me into those waters. And then later, he was point blank asked, how many snaps per game does he plan on giving Harrison this season? And, you know, Tomlin's response wasn't surprising. He said, as many as he can handle, as many as I prescribe, and I'm on the fence about what that number is.
Okay, so there's a Tomlin non-answer for you. We'll see. I'm not going to get too caught up with it. They're both going to play, I think, a good bit still.
All right, on to practice today. Offensive line. Finney, obviously, in there for Marquise Pouncey again. The good news is I think Gilbert was in there. We were kind of wondering if there was something up with him. But you know, everybody on that offensive line, sans Pouncey, I guess, seems healthy.
Yeah, things are pretty good there. Yeah, not a whole lot I really can get to today. There was no O-line, D-line work because they're not in pads. They don't do that stuff then. You know, run blocking, you really can't get a good feel for it. You know, just to bounce off the point, because he's going through the Giants game, Dave, and we kind of talked about this, I think, yesterday and this morning's podcast. But, you know, Matt Filer, go back to him, the physicality and demeanor, and like the attitude he has to finish his blocks, I really like and appreciate. So just kind of another, you know, feather in his cap of what he brings to the table, not just the strength, not just the position flexibility and the little bit of experience, but just the play demeanor that I'm sure Mike Munchak and Sean Surratt really appreciate.
Ethan Cooper, I mean, not looking good for him at this point.
I don't want to say that. I'm less warm to the idea of a guy like Brian Mahalik making the practice squad. Now, you know, obviously, could it be another tackle kept instead? Do you want to keep two guards? It's probably unlikely. Reps are just so hard to come by for those guys. Jake Rogers, even Mahalik still, they're third teamers. They're not getting a lot of time. Obviously, in the game against the Giants, they got, what, about five snaps, I think, across the board. So, you know, Cooper hasn't looked extra special. He hasn't looked like the top talk of the town UDFA, but he's not been awful either. There's some traits there to work with, some strength and some lateral agility that I think is intriguing.
Wide receiver, Juju seeing continued time in the slot, right?
Yeah, he's been in the slot. He also works in the outside. He's just kind of wherever they need him, obviously, with the injuries of receiver throughout camp and guys missing time. It's opened up the opportunity for a guy like Smith-Schuster. You can just see him get the coaching every day, though, in every rep. You know, early in practice, in warm-ups, Haley took him aside, talked to him for about 15 seconds. Kind of, you know, Juju nodded, and then he went about his business, stood next to Richard Mann. Then during some quarterback receiver kind of on-air stuff, Ben spent probably a good 30 seconds really explaining an out route to Juju. And, you know, Juju, I think, said something back to him that kind of the light clicked, and Ben smiled and said, yes. And then they ran the out route and completed the pass. So I think he's just trying to soak in every single rep and just that supporting cast that a rookie receiver has. I mean, Dave, could you ask for a better group of guys? A Ben Roethlisberger, a franchise veteran quarterback, Richard Mann, for my money, the best wide receivers coach in the league, Todd Haley, who's a really good offensive coordinator with a wide receiver background, and even Hines Ward as a scouting intern. I mean, could you ask for a better, you know, a mentor group than those four?
No, absolutely not. And speaking of Hines Ward, you know, but now that he's back, you know, interning and all, the speculations, you know, from the fan base picking back up that after Richard Mann leaves, Hines Ward's going to take over and be the new wide receivers coach. Look, I love Hines Ward, but I mean, it's too early to suggest that, right? I mean, you're going to replace one of the most distinguished, long, you know, veteran wide receiver coaches in the league with a guy that you know, just now really, you know, practically cutting his teeth on the coaching ranks?
Yeah, I mentioned this when the rumors first flared up, when Mann basically hinted at his retirement, or really said his retirement after this year. And while it is good that Ward is getting some coaching experience, it's still a huge jump to go from intern, you know, a coach to the guy. It's a big difference, and I think that's quite a gap that he would have to close.
All right, who stuck out in some of the, you know, one-on-one drills or whatnot today, or the seven shots?
Seven shots, I'm trying to think. AB had a back shoulder touchdown. Let me go through my notes.
Is that guy getting better? I mean, you read all that, you know, you don't know how much of this is hyperbole and all. I mean, the guy's good enough as it is, but I mean, is he getting better? I mean,
Well, that's what Carnell Lake said. He looked better. Tomlin was asked about it too, just his explosion and his feet, you know, getting some strength. I saw Tomlin's comments about Brown getting his weight up coming in the NFL at a mid-180s. I think Brown now weighs somewhere around, 194, 195, so he's just a stronger guy. I mean, he just looks like the best receiver in the league, so it's hard for me to see if he's better because he's just off the charts amazing, but they say he's better, and he's certainly just killing it in camp. I mean, the Burns gives him a tough time, but, I mean, AB is just something else.
All right, who else wide receiver-wise?
For seven shots today, Juju had a really nice catch on a slot fade to the right corner over William Gay, so that was a nice play. Like I said, AB's back shoulder. Eli Rogers had a touchdown. That wasn't extremely difficult. I think those were all the receivers that had touchdowns today. Yeah, not a lot of one-on-ones. They're doing some more team stuff right now. It's like two receivers versus three DBs kind of doing some of those box calls just to throw some different stuff in there. So not a lot of whole one-on-one environments today.
All right. Anything with the tight ends?
I want to see Faison Odom make some more combative catches and some red zone stuff. He had one opportunity on the final play, seven shots today. I think it was Dobbs, Stewart threw him kind of down the right seam in the back of the end zone. And Odom, it was a high pass. Odom went up and caught the football, but on his way down, either he lost control and Jacob Hagan made a nice play to kind of contest and break it up. Those are obviously plays at a 6, 7.5. You know, whatever, what does he weigh, 250 tight end has to make in the red zone. That's where you're going to make your money, and I haven't really seen that from him either. So he has some double catches when the ball will get into his body too often. We know his issues as a blocker. You know, it's been a quiet camp, I think, overall for Faison Odom.
Probably hard to get anything on the running backs today, being as how – you know, not any thudding going on, huh?
Yeah, but it was nice to see James Conner get those reps. I mean, he hasn't been in team since, day three when they first put on the pads. So just to get those reps, so he's working behind the line so you can see his vision and you can really have some, you know, coaching points to go up with him and James Saxon, the running backs coach. That'll be nice. And then Conner had the play of the day and the hurry up with the third teamers. You know, Bart Houston kind of airmailed a swing pass to Conner in the left flat, and Conner reached over his head and kind of twisted for it and grabbed it down, then juked, you know, Dangerfield out of his shoes and took off down the left sideline. So, you know, I think what's impressive about Conner and the limited, you know, work that he's gotten is just how comfortable he looks as a receiver, because he didn't have to do it that often at Pitt. But he's got soft hands, he's quick to the tuck. There is the occasional drop, which is going to happen with any of these guys, but that was a really difficult catch today. He made it and finished the play, so that had the crowd really excited.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin didn't want to give him too much praise after practice because no pads are on. We'll get a really good sense about whether or not he's going to play. You know, these next, you know, after the day off, because they got three practices in a row. If he's able to, and Tomlin said they'll have the pads on Wednesday. So if he goes Wednesday. You know, if he goes Wednesday and then closes out the week, then chances are he'll play. But if he misses any one of those days, then, you know, we might not see him until the third preseason game. But it sure would be nice to get him, on the field here pretty soon. So I would think that we're probably going to see Fitz, Davis, Connor, and the Nightmare against Atlanta there. So go ahead.
I was just going to say, you want to talk about where a next roster cut could happen when these guys get healthier, if they got to make another move running back. You know, Trey Williams, Brandon Brown Dukes, way off the radar right now. You got six running backs, assuming Connor's healthy. So that's pretty heavy. Someone might be gone here soon.
Yeah, they're absolutely right. All right, defensive side of football, you know, what stuck out? Defensive line, outside linebackers.
It was just good to have Maxey back, because that knee injury at first blush looked kind of serious, so to have him back without missing a day is really big for him, and give that D-line depth, you know, that I guess depth that this team hasn't had in quite some time. One thing I want to talk about, because again, it's hard to learn a lot from today's practice because there isn't a whole lot going on. You know, Francis Callan keeps being an intriguing guy to me. He doesn't get a lot of reps. I haven't seen a ton of, you know, good from him in the few reps that he does get in practice, but he's a heck of an athlete, Dave. I don't know if you saw. I'm sure you did. You watched the game 14 million times, but he was running down kicks. When was the last time you saw a 295-pound defensive end? I got a GIF of it. I got a post here after the podcast. When was the last time you saw a guy his size running down kickoffs?
Yeah, absolutely. Normally, you don't see those big guys out there at all. And I mean, look, we knew that, you know, after he was signed and his background and all, and the athleticism that he has, of course, at Georgia Tech, you know, still trying to develop. Obviously, an overseas guy, new to football, but you know, definitely a guy that, you know, maybe you keep him on the practice squad to see what he has and see if he can build up his strength and learn technique along the way. You know, you would be fearful of having to move him up at any point during the sure. During the season. But I mean, who knows? I mean, when it comes to especially if McCullers doesn't make the 53 and Maxey does. Boy, it's anybody's guess it right now what the one or two practice squad defensive linemen would be.
Right. I mean, you've asked me the last couple of days who I would take, and I think that battle's still open. I think Callen's got the most upside and the most tools to work with. And you're right. I would not want Callen called up on the 53, but to be fair, we said it about Maxey last year from Mars Hill, and you know, he got a cup of coffee and didn't look out of place.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, outside linebacker, man, it's pretty. You got to hand it to Arthur Motes. That son of a gun stays on the damn field, doesn't he?
He's the only one, I think. I think everybody, literally every other outside linebacker at some point, has missed time, missed reps. And Motes is all by himself. So credit to keeping yourself in shape, being out there. You know, the best ability is availability. And for Motes, kind of maybe in the getting close to the twilight of his career, that availability might be his best skill set and trait. Yeah, didn't learn a lot. Huguenin, I think, is still an interesting guy. Austin Gearing was in Team Joel's. So they threw him into the fire right away because he does have the background from rookie minicamp. That's another reason why rookie minicamp is important, even if guys don't get signed. Very often they end up coming back. You know, we've seen Jerron Chisholm, Cameron Stingley, Matt Dooley, all guys that were in rookie minicamp, didn't get signed right away, ended up coming back. So not a lot to learn from. I just want the group healthy. You know, they get one guy back, another guy goes down. It's like, what the heck? They spin a wheel every day to figure out who's practicing.
I guess the most positive note of the day, probably as a whole, is the fact that Chicolo's back working, right?
Yeah, it's nice to have Chicolo back, and he's going to do well in the preseason games. You know, he's going to do well in camp. He is the star of camp every year. I think Tomlin even kind of joked about it the other day. So I am interested to watch him work, but I assume he's going to do well, and I'm not going to get too excited when he does do well because he can, you know, we know his game. We know he's a good pass rusher with a lot of tools, a lot of moves. It's all about, you know, regular season work when it counts. That's a true evaluation of Chicolo at this point in his career.
Well, we should assume that he should play well against the second teamers, you know. Anything less than that would be a huge disappointment at this point. Like we said this morning, I sure wish that was Chicolo that had the three sacks and the interception the other night against the Giants. But, you know, obviously he didn't. He sat that game out there. But I think that might be the most positive, you know, nugget to come out of practice on Monday there. Okay, inside linebacker, as we said, doesn't look like Shazier is close anytime soon. I think you said Kelsey might be a little bit dinged up. So Matakavage, Vince Williams inside, Johnson's a little dinged up. So that leaves here's another guy. You know, L.J. Fort, a guy stays on the field. I mean, he just stays.
Keep talking him up. I like it.
I mean, he just keeps, you know, there's something to be said about dependable players like that.
That's a really good point, Dave, and I think that's one that I don't even talk about enough, and I think most fans don't talk about enough. And it's just, you know, you can't make the club from the tub. Best ability is availability, all the cliches we can give you, but you're absolutely right. It's the guys you can trust, the guys you can count on, the guys that are ready working every single day, and L.J. Fort has certainly been one of those guys. Matt Galambos, another one of those guys I think continues to shine against the run. His run fits are great. He's a physical guy. He's not going to be a great cover guy, but I think his technique is good. So Kelsey was back in team today, which is good. He had that shoulder injury stinger against the Giants, but I think I'd still give the slight edge to Galambos right now over Kelsey if you maybe choose.
Back in corners, Mike Hilton keeps showing up in your Twitter feed.
Keep showing up. Yeah, did well in on air today. Or the receiver DBs, those 2 versus 3s I was talking about earlier. Brian Allen.
Explain that.
It's just two receivers versus 3 DBs. In this case, they were all cornerbacks because the safeties were doing other stuff. I was trying to get an idea of the coverages they were doing. But generally, when you see some of those strings, 2 over 3, 3 over 4, they're box calls. So, you know, it's kind of a pattern matching thing where you're going to play first out, first in, second out, second in. So it's going to be, you know, the coverage is going to be based off of how the receivers run their routes. For one example, very common powder matching concept. It's two read, two trap, palms. There's a bunch of terms for it. But basically what happens is the cornerback on the outside is reading the number two slot receiver. If that number two slot receiver runs an out route, like a short, you know, 5 yard out, that cornerback will jump number two and try to jump the route and pick it off. And he will pass off the number one, if he goes deep, to the safety over top. So that's, you know, think of the one I go to all the time, Ross Cockrell interception. What was that, 2 years ago against Baltimore? He had that for that long return. That's two trap. We've covered that a bunch of times. So I think they're just working on some pattern matching, some route combinations, and starting to put the pieces together.
And you said Hilton had a breakup and then an interception, right?
Back-to-back plays, too. Now, to be fair, the interception was a really poorly thrown ball. It was kind of a gimme pick. He just turned his head around and found it. So, but he's making plays. Brian Allen got burned by DHB in 7-on-7s on a 9-ball. DHB still has that speed. One other note today, Artie Burns. I'm not sure what the story is here. I'd love someone to ask Tomlin about it. I don't think Tomlin would give an answer, so maybe ask Burns. But Burns returned a kick. And you know, it kind of surprised me because you don't usually see yellow returning kicks. And, you know, he had the Danny Smith didn't say anything to Burns. And then Burns starts walking back. And from across the field, Tomlin starts yelling at Artie Burns. And from what a Depot reader, Ed, I was talking to today, said that Tomlin was said something to Burns like, "You're stealing reps," and was not happy with Artie Burns. And Burns kind of threw his hands out like, "What did I do wrong?" And kind of sulked off. So if you needed the confirmation, Tomlin does not want defensive players, especially starting cornerback, touching the ball on special teams.
I think the most important thing there is Tomlin sees everything.
Yeah, because Tomlin wasn't involved with that. He's on the other side of the field, and he just saw Artie yelled at him, "You're stealing reps," and Artie sulked off.
Amazing, amazing. Safeties, we talked about Hagan this morning. This is a guy that, man, at this point, you'd be surprised if he didn't make at least a practice squad.
Yeah, I think he's got a real good chance. Two breakups and seven shots today. Just a guy that knows the system, has been with the team. You know, it's a Jordan Dangerfield path, where Dangerfield felt like he was going to be a camp lifer forever. Then opportunity opened up. Dangerfield's good play opened up. You know, I don't think Hayden has really any shot for the 53, but I think he's going to be a practice squad guy that one injury at safety. If they're going to keep four, which I assume they do, all it's going to take is one injury there, which is likely to happen at some point this year for Hagan to get to call up. So maybe he goes to Dangerfield route. He certainly deserves it as a hardworking guy that keeps improving.
Back to inside linebacker real quick. Boy, Matakevich didn't look on his game Friday night. You agree?
What do you think the issue was?
It looked like he had some bad run fills there. And second, it looked like he had some trouble getting off some second-level blocks.
Yeah, I might have to look at it again. It's so, like you always harp on, it's so hard to tell without the All-22 exactly what the problems are. There were a couple runs, though, I remember that maybe Medikevich run fill wasn't the best.
Yeah, especially early. Go back and watch the first 8-9 giant runs, something like that. I think it's in that. I remember coming, and once again, like you said, man, you would think we pay $99 a year for Game Pass. You'd think they'd give us the damn coach's tape from meaningless preseason games along with it, you know?
That's a whole other story. Game Pass.
I digress. Boy, it don't work great with Chrome right now.
What? You use Chrome for it?
Yeah. I try to. I've been having to use Firefox because the pause and it just stalls on you. I mean, geez, million dollar operation. You can't make that thing any better than that. And why did they fix something that really wasn't? I mean, sure, we all wanted a few upgrades with Game Pass, but really, we had just gotten used to the old version and looked like they got the bugs worked out of it there. But enough of our blogger woes. I already probably know a couple of these top plays of the game. I mean, of the day.
James Conner's catch, Josh Dobbs, who I didn't mention, threw a rope to Marcus Tucker on an out route. So those are probably the two highlights of the day. Those two plays.
They wrapped Ben Roethlisberger up like a package, huh?
They did, yeah. Jordan Norwig had the right shoulder, left knee wrapped up pretty good. So that's just maintenance for him. Nothing to worry about there.
All right. Sounds like the end of the world's coming there with that train on your end there. Who is wearing the L on Monday?
It's hard to choose when it's kind of a laid back day. There's not a whole lot of that competition. You know, Marcus Tucker, I think he has some talent. You know, obviously he survived the wave of receiver cuts with Kane and Severn being released, but we've seen Tucker have a couple untimely drops in practice, not today, but in the past. And, he muffed two punts today and, you know, he's getting a little bit of an extended look as a punt returner. He's done some kick return work as well. So that's certainly not a good thing when you're having trouble fielding punts on air without any rush coming at you.
All right, good stuff as usual there. And did you get the Twitter memo that I approved you for a small size McFlurry after practice? I'll be willing to reimburse you for that because of all your hard work today.
I quoted you back. I said I'm going to redeem it tomorrow, and there's going to be hell to pay if they won't accept for that Steelers Depot form that you submitted.
Yeah, please make sure you fill out that requisition form, though, if you want to get reimbursed for that. I believe it's SDMC 92784 form. Number that should be in your blogger handbook there. Okay, and Alex, tomorrow I think is your anniversary.
It is. I'm sorry. The train, there's a ghost train apparently outside the house right now. I'm sure that sounds terrible because the train breaks like a mile up the road from me. So you hear the train breaks. But yes, to your actual question, it is. It's, what is it, 4 years now, isn't it? Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy anniversary. You know, I didn't get you anything. And
you got me the McFlurry thing. That's my gift, right?
There you go. But, yeah, it's hard to believe it's been that long already. Seems like yesterday you were – and, in fact, I think your first write-up was a recap, a film review of the Steelers preseason game against the New York Giants. So, you know, how is that? But, yeah.
It's funny. I did that for another site, and then you found me after I posted those notes for the Giants game, so it's funny it worked out. My first article, which went up 4 years tomorrow, was a breakdown of Jarvis Jones and through every play, not knowing where his career was going to take. And so now we're looking at a new first-round pick in T.J. Watt.
So should people go back and look at that first post, or would you rather them not?
Probably not. I was in the Microsoft Paint and trying to break down every single play, and turns out I didn't really need to do that. Could have summed up Jarvis Jones' career pretty quickly.
All right, good stuff as always, and I appreciate you doing double duty today, and you and I will be back on the site writing later on this evening and on, you know, obviously into tomorrow, and then you'll be back at training camp for 3 days in a row to close this thing out. So, folks, you can follow me on Twitter, @SteelersDepot. You can follow Alex on Twitter, @Alex_Kazora. Thanks to Touring Plans, once again, @TouringPlans and TouringPlans.com. Guys, always, they've been our sponsor for a few years now. We appreciate them. We appreciate you, the listener out there as well, too, because especially those of you that donated to the cause, we couldn't do it without you. And that's all we got for tonight. As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast.